Well, so I mean, the thing's called Daily Wisdom Texts. Do you can you help us with an idea of like what does wisdom mean? What is wisdom?
Yeah. Right. I knew you were going to ask me that.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Parker's Pensies. I'm your host, Parker Setecase, and this is a podcast where we explore all the deepest ideas in philosophy, theology, nature, and life. I love thinking about cool stuff, so come think with me. Today, I have another very special episode for you guys. I have with me Samuel Henry. He is the founder of Daily Wisdom Texts. And this dude's awesome. I'm really excited to get into his story and hear about how he got into the tech community and then got out and what he's doing with wisdom in his own life and how, we're partnering together. So there's a Parker's Pensies playlist for you guys. So you can find that link in the description. We're going to get into more what that means. But before we jump in, I want to give you guys some opportunities to support the podcast. So if this is if you enjoy this podcast, if you find value in it, if it's your top 5, top 10, maybe even top 15, please consider becoming a Patreon patron. That's like the best way to support the podcast. I would love to be doing this full time. I'd love to fly out to Samuel and be sitting down face to face with him. We're getting more into face to face conversations because of some of my patron supporters who have made it rain on me, and I have a lot more equipment now, which is cool. But still need a lot. We have a ways to go if I want to do this full time. So please consider becoming a Patreon patron. You can find the link in the description wherever you're getting this podcast app. Another way to support the podcast, if you're on YouTube, there is a super thanks button down here. And that's just a way to say thanks. It's above and beyond Patreon. If you want to give a one-time gift, you want to buy me a cup of coffee, buy me a book, whatever it is, everything helps. So it's another way to support the podcast. Another way to support the podcast is by buying some merch from my merch store. You should be able to see that down if we're on YouTube somewhere. If you're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you find it in the description. But I'm wearing some gear right now. That's my ugly mug. Another one by Chasten Han. Let me just show you this. That's Android Parker. And you guys might be saying, well, Parker, isn't it like super arrogant to wear your face on your shirt? Yeah, it is. But it's not arrogant for you to wear my face on your shirt. So you can buy all sorts of fun stuff over there. And I should say for the patrons as well, as different levels where you join, you get different perks, shirts and mugs and all that good stuff. So go check that stuff out. And then another way to support the podcast is by joining up with Daily Wisdom Texts. You can find the link in the description here. We're going to get into more of what that is. But basically, you're getting texts from famous philosophers and theologians, all sorts of people who are wise. They come right to your phone every morning. And let me just read one for you. So I got one the other day from St. Augustine, City of God. Augustine's just texting me. It's awesome. This is from my playlist that you can find on Daily Wisdom. So here's from Augustine. Where these truths are concerned, I fear none of the arguments of the academicians. When they say, what if you're in error? If I'm in error, I exist. See, fallor, assume. Someone who doesn't exist surely can't be in error. That's a really famous quote, and a lot of people say that's where Descartes got his cogito ergo sum from. So you can enjoy Daily Wisdom Text as well. Without further ado, let's bring in Samuel and let's get talking about like what this partnership looks like. And I want to hear his story. It's a good one from what I've heard so far. Samuel, thanks for coming on the podcast, man.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Super excited, and it's been great to get to know you.
Yeah, man. Real quick, let's just say, like, what is the project? What is Daily Wisdom Texts?
Yeah, so it's daily text messages of wisdom. So Daily Wisdom Texts. So basically, I made it for myself, super burnt out and just like needing to kind of chill and get a little zen, and went back to something that's been there for me many times in the past is St. Benedict's Rule for Monks. So
yeah.
The structure of that is basically there's something that the monk is supposed to read every day. It's short. And so I started sending that to myself receiving it as a text message was a great way to kind of force me to see it every day and have a little moment of mindfulness. And so that's basically how it started. And then told some friends about it and they thought it was cool. So added them, added some more authors, and then it's kind of just grown from there. There's, 20 something different authors. You've got folks like, Book of Ecclesiastes, Epicurus, Lao Tzu, some sayings of Buddha, and you know, there's some Sufism, there's some Hinduism, there's lots of mystics, lots of kind of I like what you say about playlists. It kind of feels like I'm DJing. These are books and quotes and authors that have meant a lot to me, and so I'm kind of getting to share them with the world, and that's been awesome. So yeah, you sign up, you get text messages every day. You can configure the time of day pretty easily. And that's basically it. You're going through full books. So like I read the Tao Te Ching for the first time by setting it up on Daily Wisdom Text, and it was great. Wow, I read the whole book, and I thought about it every day. And And so excited to try this new approach of like partnering with another DJ and helping them, you know, share some meaningful thoughts with their audience, and also as another source of monetary support for you to keep doing awesome stuff like this.
Dude, totally. I love that. All of that. And I really love, I love the idea of Proverbs, because like you said, you get this like moment of Zen, or you get to chew on it. And that's what Proverbs are so good at. And that's, I've been wrestling with this a lot because I'm studying philosophy in my master's program, and just trying to think through like, what is philosophy? And many people go, well, it's the love of wisdom. And I don't know. It just seems like the wisdom tradition has kind of parted from the philosophical tradition. Even like the continental folks who might be more like gnomic in what they say, still, it's just different, because Proverbs are meant to be chewed on. There, right. It's like many of them are like, hey, those who have ears, let them hear. Those who have eyes to see, come see it. But you're supposed to like chew on it. It's not like at least in an analytic philosophy, it's like make all your points very, very clear so they can see where to attack your position, because that's good. That's what good philosophy is supposed to do. And it's just a little bit different with wisdom stuff. So I wanted to get in to your story a little bit. How'd you end up, you mentioned it, you broached it a little bit here, but how'd you end up making this program? Why did you feel like you needed Daily Wisdom texts?
So brief overview of background. Did philosophy in undergrad, and you know, thought really hard about doing the PhD and all that, but realized I could live without it. And so then, if I couldn't not live without it, then I shouldn't be signing up for that kind of
a life.
That's
a good question to ask yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was at the University of Chicago, you said, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you from like the Midwest then?
Mostly from Maryland. A little bit of time K to 3 in St. Louis area, and then back to Maryland. But yeah, moved out at 18, went to UChicago, and just fell into the life of the mind. And had always sort of had philosophical bent, but hadn't really studied anything, and then just realized, kind of came to terms with the fact that like this was where my interests lie, even though you know, they might be not the most responsible or fiscally minded major. Is kind of like a confession to my parents when I was like, hey, I want to study philosophy. Did that. We can get into more later, but like walked away basically. Didn't really have any sort of plan or ambitions or whatever. Eventually got into programming.
You said like, hey, I can live without the PhD, which I think is a really smart question to ask yourself, and it's a really good move. Like, if you just, some people out there are like, I just need a PhD, and I don't know, I wrestle with that idea all the time. Part of me is like, I don't think I can live without it, so I think I need to go do it. But I think that's a really smart move. So you're done with philosophy. What are you thinking at that point? Like, was this a waste of your time? Were you like, at least I'm set up for thinking clearly, or what?
Yeah, no, I was going through the process of it was super valuable, just, you know, personally, spiritually, intellectually, just going into adult life with that kind of foundation of a worldview and a just all of that. You can't put a price on. But then, of course, also the rigor of the analytical thinking has served me very well since then. And
unfortunately, they do put a price on it. It's very expensive.
Negative. Yeah. You go into debt. Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. So, then you had to go and get a job that was not in philosophy, right?
Yeah, so I had like a very basic, like sort of paralegal kind of job, and I took a year after doing like the senior thesis and everything to kind of unwind, and was like, okay, I'll probably apply to grad schools and stuff. So I just got a job to get a job. Didn't really like go to the career fairs or whatnot. And then once I realized I wasn't gonna go down back into academia, I was like, well, I should do something else. So I still didn't really have any plan or goals or skills, but got a job at a bigger company. And then that ended up leading to learning at a program, which then I was like, wow, now I've kind of found a career calling kind of thing. So then went back to UChicago, did a computer science degree.
Oh,
And
I didn't know you went back there. That's cool, man.
yeah,
Wow.
just couldn't get away. Yeah, and then I started to see all the similarities in philosophy and programming. Like you're in both of them, you're holding all these complex systems of logical thought in your head, and you're working on different levels, and you're taking concepts or programming libraries that already exist, and you're extending them and putting them to use. And so that ability to like maintain those levels of abstraction and consequence, are super useful getting into that world.
Yeah, I've heard. So, I mean, I listen to Lex Fridman a lot, and he'll talk about that with some of the programmers and how they're using different logics and stuff like that. It's really cool. Or they go into like ontologies when they're
Sure.
I forgot the name of it, but they a lot of times they hire philosophers to get in on this stuff. I thought it's so
Yeah,
cool
like
that there's like this.
metaphysics and software design, like
Yeah,
in
because you're
both
like
of them,
creating little
Occam.
worlds. Yeah,
Yeah, and
right.
Occam's razor is useful in both, I guess,
Yeah,
like
sure. Yeah.
minimize complexity.
So you get into coding and programming. Man, are those the same thing? If you're coding, are you
Yeah,
programming or
basically.
okay,
Yeah.
okay. So you get into that. Then where do you go from there? I think you
Yeah.
ended up at Amazon,
Yeah.
right?
So from there, it was time to get a job again, and sort of starting off in this career, going somewhere like in Amazon or Google. I knew I would learn a lot more and get a lot of experience, and it looked, pretty safe on the resume and all that. So moved to Seattle, did that, and then it just kind of was like a rocket ship up of like growing and building and then leading teams and then leading teams of teams and all this stuff that was just very like invigorating and exciting, but kind of ran myself into the ground pretty hard and for a long time.
Well, same. I would assume as an outsider that those jobs would be like highly sought after and be like tough to get. Is that the case, or so
Yeah,
that's a pretty that's a huge thing that they hired you then.
it was amazing. Like, I went from like not really knowing anything to being able to get that job, and like, yeah, that degree program at UChicago just was phenomenal in like both theoretical and practical stuff that set me up to get in the door. And then once I was in the door, just like sort of innate leadership qualities in me just kind of jived with the culture, and just yeah.
So it went, I mean, it went really well, but then you're feeling run down, burned out, like what?
Yeah, just super burnt out. It was like, how do I get out of this? Like, and then it'd be like, oh, there's another project or team that needs to be dealt with, and then it's all right, another year or two goes by and I'm like even deeper down in the hole. So finally, in 2020, took some time off, went and just like stared at the desert for a while. That was when I first started like getting the Benedict texting me again, and then was able to finally leave. And then 2021 was just kind of trying to just calm my mind a bit and all that. And I started getting back into reading like mysticism and early asceticism and some minimalist poetry and like Al-Ghazali's like Sufi stuff, and
For
was
sure.
just like, I'm chilling. And then kind of recovered enough and was like getting curious about like adding more authors into the Daily Wisdom text and telling more people about it. And then around like December, kind of finally had the energy where I was like, wow, I'm working on this like all the time, and like I'm excited about that. And like the process of creating it, like was a good forcing function for me to continue engaging with different wisdom traditions and like go beyond my like primarily Western education. Like, you know, there's a lot out there that's not just,
it's true,
you know. And
were you still working at Amazon while you were making this? Were you still on your time off? Okay.
Left and then got it going.
Okay. So
in like a very basic way that was like not meant to even, I didn't even like tell friends for a while. It was just something for me. And then I told a friend and they were like, that's awesome. Add me. And, okay.
That is pretty cool, man, because it's got like this, like pure motive behind it. Because it's not like, hey, this is my escape hatch where I'm going to make a bunch of money out of it. It's like, no, I'm just doing this. I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to reset and re-engage and get some wisdom. If someone does that to make money, that's cool too. I'm a capitalist, man. I like money. But it's even better when it kind of grows as like an organic thing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, basically runs itself and, you know, people sign up, there's a trial, some convert, but it's pretty much,
it's sweet. Well, so Sammy, you said you took some time to stare at the desert. Do you mean that literally? Like, did you actually go out and start?
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I don't have like any family or kids or anything. So, maybe June of 2020, I bought a car and drove east to hang out with my parents and quarantine with them and just to try to make the most of that time that I could be spending with them, since I couldn't really be doing anything else and didn't need to be physically in Seattle. So had a car, and then I in the fall decided to take that kind of sabbatical and like drove out to New Mexico and Arizona and just basically like stared at the desert for a couple months. And
well, dude, why'd you pick that? Why didn't you go to like a tropical place? Like, what about the desert did it for you?
The desert, I spent a little bit of time in Morocco and fell in love with the desert and just like the vastness of it and like the fact that like there are, you know, like ancient shark bones and fish and stuff like in the desert is just mind blowing in the like geological time scale, and all of that is just, you know, overwhelming and quieting and sublime. And so, yeah, I was drawn to that. I did then go to Florida for a little bit and stare at the beach, at the ocean for a bit.
That's still good.
So I got a little bit of that in on the way back.
Well, that's really cool, because I'm currently reading through Dune, and I've included some of those in the playlist, whatever, Parker's Proverbs. And just like last night or two nights ago, are you familiar with Dune at all, Samuel?
Yeah, I haven't read the book, but I'm vaguely aware of the concepts, and I saw the recent movie.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, Frank Herbert is just a legend. Like, he's on par, like, I don't want to say he's on par with Tolkien, but they both do the same thing where they make up their own proverbs, and then they interject them into the story. And I don't know, most times you're like, you just read it and you're like, oh, okay, so that character is wise. But if you sit and chew on that proverb, you're like, wait, where did that come from? What do you,
right?
He just interject. So he was talking about last night or two nights ago or something, I was reading Leto 2, that this emperor is saying, there's something about the desert that's like spiritual. There's something about the desert that like draws it out of you. And then you think about the desert fathers, you think about like the spiritualists and people in the desert. And I haven't quite had that experience actually being there, but I know, like, pontificating in my own mind, I'm like, yes, the desert. But I'm like, I wonder if I'd be like that if I went to Arizona right now. You know, I need to actually have that experience myself, I think. But you're saying it works for you.
Doing it, going to Arizona in August may not be the most advisable. You might, a little. That's good.
Practical wisdom too, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. I think about the year 2020. And all the ramifications that come from that. And I think, you know, we look 50 years down the line from now and we look back at 2020, and I think we're going to see a lot of ripples coming from that, you know, like just little things. Maybe you and I explode and we become huge, whatever. And we say, you know, 2020, that's when I started my podcast, August 2020. Maybe not. Right. But a bunch of these little movements, all these little things like you and me and a lot of other people just take having some little break, even though it was in a terrible situation. Being like, I don't want to do something else. I need to do something else. And I know a lot of people that's happened with, and I'm just thinking about the ripple effects from that 1 year and all the terrible stuff, but there's also good stuff and breaks and changes. And it's a crazy year, man.
Yeah. 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 I was very fortunate to like be able to stay home, and like, even on the drive, like I wouldn't even go into like a rest stop. I'd like go on the side of the road and take a leak. Just like, you know, I was fortunate to be able to be super, super removed from exposure and had the time with my parents that I never would have done, you know, at this phase of their lives. And like all that super, super incredible for me to have been able to do.
Totally. Yeah. So fast forwarding now to today, is this the full-time gig? Like, is Daily Wisdom Text, is that what you're diving in head on with?
It's like, it's nice. Like I can basically cover the costs like without it costing too much right now. Like,
nice.
With like enough people convert to paid, and there's not a lot of overhead, and I can build it also. Like, I don't have the like, you know, gun to my head of like full on startup mode, yeah. Like 24/7. So like it's full time, like it's where I spend most of my like working time, and I'll have phases where it's, you know, a lot more than others. But like, I have also been doing some like, short term, like consulting programming stuff, okay. Which is nice. Yeah.
Is that something you still like? I'm assuming you enjoyed programming, just,
yeah.
You know, like you talked about how it was similar to, there's a lot of carryover from philosophy, and then you got burned out, but is that something that you're able to then like enjoy again? Like, would you continue doing
sure.
that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Working on this project is really like reconnecting me back with like the basics of the fun of it. Like,
nice, man.
Cause like I was in meetings all day by the time, you know, halfway through Amazon. So I wasn't really writing much code, and that was what I wanted to be doing. But, and like just the code you have to write at like an Amazon, like cloud thing, that's gotta be all secure and up all the time, uh-huh. is super different than like working on this. So it's
okay.
Back to the basics of like, not that it's not secure or whatnot, but like the rigor and everything, you can move a lot faster. It's a lot more fun. And so, yeah, I've definitely like been enjoying that.
So I don't know a ton about coding, but I know like there's different platforms and stuff. Like, do you have a favorite? Like, are you like, what is it? Apple Pie is, I think it's like super like base level. And then there's like eight, like there's a bunch of different things. What do you use? Python or what?
I mean, it depends on what you're trying to do. So sometimes you want to have something that's a little more loosey goosey and fast to work in. Other times you want something that's a little more structured and, like not going to break as easily. So it really depends on what you're trying to do. And, then just what you're familiar with. So like,
oh yeah, I guess that's a big part. So I mean, what do you like? Are there like four of them that you use or?
Yeah. So, like pretty much all of Daily Wisdom Text is written in Ruby, and that's like, sort of like a Python, like very, like just kind of simple and smooth and, like, yeah, fun. And then, you know, when you're doing something more enterprise, like Java's good for that. Like everyone knows that it's got, you know, great safety and stuff like that. But then there's languages that also just kind of like change your paradigms of thinking. And like, those are fun to do like as almost like a thought experiment or ritual, you know, but you might not use them day to day.
Yeah, I'm interested in it just to think about it. Like I don't think I want to code or anything. Maybe it'd be easier to do. But with the podcast, I'm acquiring more and more friends, which is awesome. And they're like, hey, I can do this for you. I'm like, sick. Let's do that instead of me having to take the next, you know, 40 hours to try and learn something. So that's been really cool. But I am definitely interested in just like, I like people and I like thinking like, why would someone like Ruby instead of Java, like the personality mm-hmm. traits that come through, and other people like, well, it's easier. Well, this one's more fun, or this one lets me be more creative. And it's just, it's cool, man. It's a whole like weird abstract world, but
it is.
I love abstract stuff. It's so that.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of say it's a lot like philosophy, except like it either works or it doesn't. Like philosophy, like anything where you can know if it actually works or not, like isn't really worth like philosophizing about.
Yeah, that's true. If it's that simple, every now and then, right? But then you're a famous person, whoever everyone reads. Yeah.
But it's still not, you don't really know if it's right or wrong. Like it doesn't like work or not work. It's just like, it's different.
Yeah, you could, if you produce, I guess if you produce like a reductio ad absurdum, you reduce someone's position to absurdity. And it's like, okay, there we go. Now we got one. But it's like, well, then you go in for like multi-valued logics and all stuff like that. And like, well, maybe we can have contradictions. Like, dang it. I just don't do that to me. You know, we finally got somewhere.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about like the progression. So you say, look, I need to reset. I'm going to make this program for myself. It's going to send me texts. That's going to be wisdom stuff. How'd you decide what to start uploading? Like why'd you pick from the sources you originally picked from?
Yeah. So first one was Benedict, and that one's just been kind of a crutch or something in some, you know, difficult times in my life. Like, early after a very like intense loss and all of that, I mm-hmm. went to the reading the Benedict every day, and so that one and the format being like there's a reading for every day is just perfect for what I was trying to do. So that was the first one.
Well, Sam, can I ask you about that? Like, why Saint Benedict's rule for monks? Like, did you grow up Catholic or something, or how do you?
Technically, I grew up Catholic.
Most people,
but really, so this gets back into undergrad. So I took a course, I think it was my senior year, on early Christian monasticism, and so you know, we were reading about, you know, Anthony and Chrysostom, and you know, eventually getting into like Evagrius, and then, you know, Benedict and stuff like that. And so that was very like resonating with me. Like, I had sort of in the like more philosophy coursework and research stuff, I was very much running up against mysticism and ineffable and negative theology and all that sort of stuff. Where like, so they just kind of like intersected really nicely as almost like a culmination of, my studies and my work, like, and that just kind of peace and, you know, like, fleeing the world and, all that good stuff.
Dude, this is huge. So like, I just have to point this out for the audience that like you took some stuff you learned in your philosophy undergrad, and it served you later in your life when you had hard times. Like, so many people are like, well, you know, what's the difference between a philosophy major and a pizza? Like, you can't feed a family with a philosophy. Like, dude, no, it actually does work. It actually helps you live a better life. Not everyone, but you can use the tools you learned in your philosophy, even in your undergrad philosophy.
Yeah.
To have a better life. That's awesome.
Yeah. And like, to your question of like, what is philosophy? Like, you know, there's no one answer, but like, it's for me been, always kind of like a medication, you know, and, like early, you know, teenage getting like, you know, so starting off Catholic and then kind of like studying physics and, you know, just falling into materialism and just being like, wow, like nothing matters. Like it's all just, you know, molecules or forces or wavelengths or
everything
whatever.
Matter.
Matters. And then I'm like, yeah, exactly. So then, you know, fell into deep nihilism and kind of like eventually sort of philosophized my way out of that with like, okay, if nothing matters, then like, well, you can either kill yourself or not. If you do, then that's that. If you don't, then like, also doesn't matter. And then like, now that you're choosing life instead, make up the rules. And so that was sort of like early philosophical leanings in me, and kind of as like a salve on the soul.
That's awesome, man. That's like, it's like serious for you. It's like real, like you've lived through it and you have like these ideas have affected your life. I love that. Sometimes it's just a game and whatever, man. If that's you can do that too, but it's just cool. Like it's shaped your life, these ideas.
Yeah. And then it's amazing to come back to it and to have, like you said, like had that early experience that still, keeping my brain occupied and, you know, hopefully a little healthier.
Yeah. Well, so you got into like St. Benedict, you got into the Desert Fathers, which makes sense. Like you, especially you had the senior class and then like those are naturally connected. So how'd you end up getting into more Eastern? We had a call like a month or month and a half ago, and you were naming some folks that I had just never even heard of. And it's like, and on this process, you're becoming like an expert in wisdom literature, which is so cool. But how'd you ever like start branching out into non-Western?
Yeah, how did I guess one of the first like recent ones was Lao Tzu. I was like, you know, what are some heavy hitters like and just configured that as a reading and started getting it every day. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, I feel like a lot of this is familiar to me in like other things I've read or thought, and then just being like, okay. And then like, I, you know, we all in the West have sort of like a shallow basic understanding of like, you know, Buddhism and, you know, Zen and whatnot. And so that, and then we study philosophy and we realize like most of the early stuff was like, you know, borrowed from either Egypt or like the Indus Valley. And then it's like, okay, so that can start to like overlap and make sense. So then started getting into some of that. And like, I started like doing like vegetarian and then veganism. And then I'm learning about like, oh, there's like Jains who like won't even eat like a root vegetable, which kills them, and they're sweeping away. And so like those sorts of things also drew me over into that space.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So like still, you know, very early in my like delving, but a couple of different ones as authors, and I'm reading them that way. And just forcing myself to expand more in, you know, geographically and spiritually and gender wise and all of that.
That's awesome. Do you ever come across proverbs that you disagree with, that you think like, hey, this is still good to chew on, but I actually don't know that it's like in accord with wisdom?
For sure. Yeah.
Okay.
There's one that's like early in the principal doctrines of Epicurus, I think, where he says like, pain is not long lasting, like any pain will like, and I'm like, dude, that's really nice that like that was your experience, but like, do you know anyone with chronic pain, like or that's like, you know, actually physically being tortured? And it's like, bro, like, we're gonna have to caveat that one a little. And then, you know, there's those sort of like basic ones, but then just to like continue on the Epicurean piece, like in like a more serious way, there's the proverbs and wisdom that are like, we must free ourselves from the prison of everyday affairs and politics. And it's like, that is very relieving when you're like overwhelmed with the world and seeing like, you know, the mundane and the like, you know, just like insanity out there. Like, yeah, retreating is really nice, but like, that's also like a super privileged thing to be able to do, to go and sit in your garden and like eat figs and talk about like friendship. Like,
and it might not again, be prudent like, when the wolf's at the door, right? Or something like
yeah right, like wolf's at the door, or like wolf is at other people's doors, and like, you know, should we just be retreating from the world or trying to actually help or fight in whatever way we can? And so like there's always these contradictions, and having the different ones against each other like helps you kind of wrestle with them in your own head and see.
I found that when I got this Oxford Dictionary of Proverbs, and part of it feels like cheating, but a lot of them they're not from books, or they were from like the 1400s or something, but it's like not a book I'm ever going to read. So I try to like assuage
you never know.
yeah, that's right. I try to like assuage my guilt on that, because I like to find them myself. If I like go out and harvest them myself, it feels really good. But I grabbed this book of Proverbs and I'm like, oh man, there's so many that I just don't agree with. I don't like that. I don't think that actually is wisdom. But even in chewing on it, I have to think like, why don't I agree with that? And it's been such a good process to be like, okay, well, and then to also think that Proverbs aren't a one size fit all. It takes wisdom to actually use them. And so there's this kind of like chicken and egg thing where it's like, how do you even get started on wisdom? And the book of Proverbs in the Bible at one part says, Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so you go, okay, so I'm fearing the Lord. Like, it's not just being afraid, but it's like fearing and reverencing him and saying like, if he created this world, then looking at the way that he created and what he ascribes to you will help you live along the grain of reality. But then I think it's Proverbs 9:10 says the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. It's like, oh yeah, that is actually wise. Just go get it. And you're like, wait, what do you mean? Like, if you want to be wise, you have to live your whole life, like go and get it. It's worth more than gold. It's worth more than jewelry. It's worth more than like fancy perfumes. Go and get wisdom and like treat it like it's your sister. Treat it like it's your neighbor. Treat it like it's right next to you. Wisdom will guide me. And if I don't live by wisdom, it doesn't matter how much riches I have. Mm-hmm. So I love your daily wisdom text. It's someone texting you, some great thinker saying like, here's a bit of wisdom. And you have to chew on it yourself to make it your own, to apply it to your life. So it's not just a one size fits all. You're outmoding your thought. No. Now you have to go apply this to your life. I love that.
Yeah. And so two things, I guess. One, like, this is something that makes me really excited about having like partnering with you of like having another DJ is that like, I've selected all the ones that are there currently. And like, I'm often drawn to things that are sort of saying the same thing over and over, or of like, you know, like sort of like Ecclesiastes philosophy, but like, in different, you know, modes. And so like for myself, like I can box myself into a corner and be just sort of like confirmation biasing of like, just like stewing on these same sort of concepts. And it, you know, it's nice to then like bring another perspective in and like have you be like, okay, what about these? So then I could like switch it over to your ears and be like, all right, what if I kind of am, you know, focusing on these, and then there'll be overlap, of course, but like,
totally.
I'm excited to like get to have like almost an experience of another person's kind of path.
Totally.
And then the second thing, dude, it's crazy that you brought up the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. When I was like thinking a little bit before this about like what we might get into and what I might want to like talk to you about and ask you about, is that very thing. So like, and like Ecclesiastes, as I mentioned, is like pretty much, if I had to say like, this is my philosophy, is basically like in there. And but the one of the parts that like I can never really understand is that the fear of God is gaining wisdom, and like that's like in the end of the book, like it's all like what you're supposed to be doing. And like for me, like I can't comprehend like what God is, like that's just bracketing that like problem. We'll set that aside, like but then like what is it that like the fear of God, why is that so important in that? Do you have, what are your thoughts on that within Proverbs and Ecclesiastes?
Yeah, man. Ecclesiastes is such a good one. And I don't think a lot of Christians read Ecclesiastes. First of all, I just don't think they read it. And they're like, yeah, if you want to get depressed, go ahead and read that. But I don't think that they wrestle with there's discontinuity in there where it's like the whole thing is about life under the sun, and everything's meaningless, and there's just the rapid or the continual change of seasons, and like there's a time for everything, and that's kind of nice. And you might read that at a funeral, there's a time to die, and this was kind of, but like the rest of the Bible says that death is not a good thing, it's the final enemy. And so it's like it's not just a, you know, it was his time to go. It's like, no, we hate this, we hate death, what are you talking about? And so there's this Bible commentator, Tremper Longman, who's a really good one, who writes really good commentaries on the wisdom literature, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And he's got this interpretation of Ecclesiastes that it is a father teaching his son about the best worldly wisdom there is, but saying, look, at the end of the day, so you get all the way to the end and it says, you know, fear God, keep his commandments. You're like, wait, what? How did that fit? And so Tremper Longman is like, you know, it's a father teaching, probably not King Solomon, but maybe like a philosopher from the East or something, saying, here's what life is. And he goes, look, all has been considered, fear God and keep his commandments. And so he's saying, look, this is like, it could be, this is the best the world has to offer, but it's not enough. This is, or it could be, this is life under the sun without God. If there were no God, okay, then everything would be meaningless. And so it could be him like putting the philosopher of Ecclesiastes on blast and being like, don't go this route. Or look what happens if you go this route without God, everything is meaningless. And Ecclesiastes means like preacher. So it's hard to say, is the preacher the one, multiple voices going on? Right. Are there three voices, like are there two multiple voices?
Yeah. Multiple author thing. So then maybe it's like you're saying, the philosopher is giving all this, and then
the father figure,
then is commenting on that and saying like, just do this.
Yeah. Or he could be, you know, it's hard to say, like, is he giving a lesson and saying these are true facts, but, to sum it up, fear God and keep his commandments. You know, could he be saying that? Could he be putting those two in contrast with each other? And so it's just a tricky thing when it comes to, and I think that's good. It's good to wrestle with that. It's like, I don't know. It's like a divine conundrum. Like, how are we going to interpret this? Because we don't have the final key on it that says here is exactly, there's three authors here. There's three voices. There's two voices. When it comes to like fearing, the fear of God, that comes up, that again and again in the wisdom literature, the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, understanding is fearing God. And I think it is, like I said earlier, it's like if God exists and has a purpose for our lives, then that's the one you need to go to first if you're going to be wise. Does he want us to live a certain way? Okay, I need to figure out what that way is. Have I done anything to wrong him? Well, I don't know. Like, what does he say? What does it mean? What am I? If there is a God and if I'm made in his image, I'm supposed to represent him. Have I been doing that well? If that's my purpose, should I be doing this to represent him? How should I be loving other people? Should I treat people differently than animals? Should I treat my neighbor? Like, what do I do here? So it all is not like contingent on if there's a God, then we better consult him in order to find out.
Yeah. How to live. God that takes an interest in the world.
That's like, one of the questions, right? Does he care? Does he care at all? Maybe he's just this deistic God who set things in motion and is like, whatever. Or maybe he's like, yeah.
And so why fear that God?
Right. So figure like that's why I think the God question is such a huge deal. Is there a God? And if there is, does he care? And is he a he? Like, is it even a something that I can address as a person? There we go.
Hello. Hey. Yeah. That's pretty funny. Like right at the moment of like, why fear that God? It, like,
Jesus. Yeah, I was going to make something. That's good. So I think the last thing I said before you froze was like, yeah, if there is a God, why fear him? And so that's why like the God question is at the center of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. If there is no God, then that'll shape how we live as well. But the Bible presupposes that there is a God and that he's the one who is shaping and molding the book itself.
I see. So it's starting from the premise there is this God who takes an interest in human affairs and has priorities. That if you're starting within that, then like that Lord has shown reason to be feared and respected and honored, and these commandments are maybe that part about like ways to live and values of different sorts.
And Proverbs is a really fun one because not a lot of them are like commands. They're it's not like the same thing as like Deuteronomy or something where it's like thou shalt not, this is how thou shalt live. And some of those commands you're like, wait, what's up with the shellfish? And some people will go, well, it's a dietary restriction because they didn't understand food laws or food back then and microbiome and all that stuff. It's like, well, he could have just told them that though. He could have said, hey, there's this thing that pigs have if you don't cook them well enough. Right. So it could be arbitrary where he's like, are you going to follow me or not? Like, I'm giving you this principle. If you want to live in my economy, if you want to live, you're going to do what I say. And if I said, stand on your head first thing in the morning, are you going to do that? Or are you going to say, this is arbitrary, I don't understand it? So it could be that, but you know, set that aside. That's Deuteronomy. That's different. Proverbs is like, if you want to be wise, you will do these things. Avoid one of the biggest one is like avoiding the adulteress. It's like, if you go and sleep with another man's wife, your life is going to be really bad. Don't do that.
Right.
You can pay him all the money in the world, but the jilted husband is going to want to kill you. You can't give him money. You can't. He wants revenge. Don't do it.
Yeah. You're going to introduce a lot of like anxiety and stress in your life. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Right. So like be wise, my son. And so it's cool. The book of Proverbs is like this book from King Solomon to his sons. And probably he saw his sons were not that wise and needed wisdom, but also he had just accumulated just tons and tons of wisdom. And it's kind of cool, man, because it's a little bit of like what you're doing. Like he collated this thing for his sons to be wise, and you're collating this thing for others to be wise. It's like sending it out. It's awesome, man.
Yeah. And like, you know, that was like there was like a collecting process and conversation within the, you know, the world back then, into the Near East and into Egypt. And like, some of that is like, you know, there's all the great parallels and, the sharing with the cultures in the Levant, and just like, some of them were probably also kind of ones that, may have been handed from one person to another. It's really fun to be sort of back in.
Yeah. One of the really cool things about setting off on like a project, you get to a certain point where like you reverse the polarity, and so things just start coming to you. So like with you, like as you grow, people will be like, hey, have you heard of this guy? He's got some really good, let me send you some of this stuff. And now it's like, oh, the effort of collecting is now reversed, and now people are like, take this. And it happens with my podcast where now people will send me their books, and they're like, here, read this book. I'm like, this is awesome, man. I used to have to buy these books, and now like they're coming to me, and I get to, it's just so cool. And that's what like happened with King Solomon. Queen Sheba comes to him, like the Queen of Sheba, like they're all bringing stuff to him. And it's just a really cool process, which I'm sure is happening to you and will happen even more as you grow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been awesome. Like something I wasn't thinking about getting, you know, joy from this project, but then has turned into just incredible, has been connecting with people on Twitter. Like there's people who are like, well, I'm in like, you know, sort of daily conversations of like, they'll post something and tag me, and I'll post something and tag them. Or I reconnected with someone who taught one of my classes in undergrad.
No way.
It was like, yeah, it was amazing. I think, I forget how we figured that out, but they taught like an entire course on Schleiermacher's on religion. And it was like an amazing experience. And I'm like, wow, this is that person who was like a postdoc at the time, and now we're talking. So, that communal thing has been great, and excited to like help kind of that community keep growing through, you know, you sharing stuff and other people sharing stuff, and like you said, I can tap into that too.
Totally, man. Well, so I mean, the thing's called Daily Wisdom Texts. Do you, can you help us with an idea of like, what does wisdom mean? What is wisdom?
Yeah. Right. I knew you were going to ask me that. Yeah. So for me, I guess like, it's just like almost going back to that sort of like curative thing of like, these are just like little thoughts, where like, they can provide some solace, or they can just help you kind of make sense of existence, and like a painkiller or like a vitamin or something to just help you get through life, in, you know, all the different moral, spiritual ways in which that is a, you know, at times painful and at times magical experience. And so the wisdom for me is just like those sort of accumulated poetic expressions that, kind of tap into that ineffable, or provide some kind of like restorative quality in you.
I like that. That is, it's funny you mentioned our different playlists and how we think differently, and that seemed to me like that was like a Desert Father type answer. I like that. It's like talking about, you know, the necessity of like helping you live and experience emotion and stuff like that. And for me, I'm like, well, no, wisdom is like the proper application of knowledge. And you're like, okay, great. Well, now apply that to my life. It's like, okay. So it's just cool, like the way we do think differently. So I would think wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. You can know something. You can know not to answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. You can know that. But there's also this is from the Book of Proverbs. Mm-hmm. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And so there's these two contradictory proverbs right next to each other, and you're like, wait, what do I do? And like, you need wisdom to know, is this a fool that needs to be addressed, that needs, because he's leading others astray, or because you know, he's about to fall in the pit himself, or is this someone who's just like poking at you on Twitter, who's like, you're trying to come at you, and you're like, no, look, if I feed the troll, it's only going to get worse for me. Don't feed the troll. And it's like, you need to have wisdom in order to do that. So you can have the knowledge of both of those. I think both of those are true, but now I need wisdom to properly apply that knowledge in different circumstances. And then I like the way that you said it, because now we can apply it to our lives for, you know, emotional salve. Like, hey, I'm going through something right now. I need some wisdom. And that's something I don't think of as much, like, about helping me through emotional droughts or distraught, like that. Mm-hmm. That stuff's good. I need to have more of that realm or aspect of wisdom in my life.
Yeah, and just seeing that other people have felt the same way, just whether it's literature, or music, or art, you know, visual art, or wisdom literature. There's some solace just in that. Knowing that you're not alone, kind of. And
there's a couple, like someone told me, like, hey, you should make up your own proverbs. I'm like, that's really pretentious, bro. Like, I can't do that. But there's one that gives me so much solace in the way that you were talking about, and it's just like, it's just a really simple statement. People are dumb, and they say stupid stuff. And it's not really like anything profound, but it helps me so much when my wife and I are struggling with infertility right now. And we got it. We know that the problem is, and, you know, we got to change diets and all this different type of stuff. But people will say really insensitive stuff all the time. Or if they're pregnant, they'll send us like a picture of their ultrasound. It's like, dude, F off. Like, are you serious right now? Don't send me that. You can tell me, but I don't, you know, don't send me that. But when I'm like so tempted to just go off on them and be like, how dare you? You should have known, blah, blah, blah. I just go like, hey, people are dumb.
People are dumb.
People are dumb. They say stupid crap. Like, that's okay. Like, I'm dumb. I've done plenty of that. So people are dumb, you know?
And they didn't mean to hurt you.
Right.
And if they did, then like, you maybe should care even less what they say.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Oh, you wanted to hurt me. Like, well, don't let them. Don't let them hurt you, because then they win. I don't want them to win, especially if they're trying to be a douche like that. Whatever, man. Like,
it's sort of like, you know, there but by the grace of God, you know.
There go I.
Like, right? Like, if they had had that kind of fertility or miscarriage or loss of a child, then they would be way more sensitive about that with you. And, like, so it's kind of like, man, like, God bless their innocence. Like,
instead of being like, I wish you felt this pain, being like, no, dude, I'm glad they didn't have to. Like,
they didn't have to, and they probably will someday. And
I think that's another part of the wisdom is like, hey, look, it comes for us all. Like,
right.
You know, some people have a terrible life, their like whole childhood, and then they rise from that and they grow and stuff. And other people, it hits them all at once, but it's coming for everybody. Like the, mm-hmm. the pain, the suffering, it comes. Like, I think that's why having a lot of these gnomic statements, proverbs, having like storing up wisdom in your heart, in your mind, it helps you. And man, so I'm a Christian. I think it's the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. brings it like to mind in these circumstances, but like memorizing, if you have them in there, you can work with them. So a situation comes up and it can help you and you go, hey, look, I remember this. Yeah. You know, Pascal said this was going to happen and here we are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've definitely thought about that. Like going back to like the like grief thing, like I felt like I had been sort of preparing myself, my, mm-hmm. you know, whole life to deal with such a loss. And, I don't know that it really made any difference when it happened. Like when the you know, rubber meets the road, it's like, yeah. Oof. But maybe it would have been
way worse.
Harder yeah, without sure. that or
hard to know.
Or yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely like the solace of saying someone else has experienced this or man, I don't know what it is. There's just something when you read a proverb, when you read a wise quote, that just rings true and you're just like, that's good. I want to just chew on that. I need to think about that more. It's just good. I don't, it makes you want to go to the beach. It makes you want to go to the desert. It makes you want to go somewhere and just sit in that pose and just like chew on that. Like, that's really wise. That's good.
Yeah. And like take you like a little away from the day to day a bit and mm-hmm. be like, oh, there are all these sort of bigger thoughts that I ponder and
yeah.
Let me just have a moment of that before getting back to the rat race or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then carrying hopefully some of that, you know, quietude with you into.
Totally. And blessing everyone you're around, you know, right. acting well. Yeah. So I, like Marcus Aurelius, people call him a Stoic, and whether that's true or not, it's like this historical debate yeah. and all this crap, but he does talk about the Logos and living in accord with the Logos. And he was kind of again, I don't know, but it seems like he's kind of a determinist when it comes yep. to the Logos. But he did say, like, in living wisely, like, I'm living in accord with this universal principle or Logos or whatever. As a Christian, I'm like, yeah, I believe John 1 says the Logos is not just this impersonal thing, but it's a person, and he came down in the person of Christ. So when I'm living in accord with wisdom, I am fearing God. I'm living in accord mm-hmm. with the way he ruled the world. When you think of wisdom, you said you went through like the materialist phase and you kind of helped yourself out of that. Where are you at now, man? Is there like a Logos? Is there a principle when you're being wise that you're living in accord with? Or is it God? Is it a deist God? Like where are you at right now?
Yeah. So I've kind of doubled down, I guess, on some of like the earlier mystical stuff and like things that kind of seem just like cute thoughts but like didn't make any sense to me back in the day, like Spinoza's kind of like substance, like monism, like
yeah.
I feel like I've kind of gotten to the point of like, all right, like peeling off of every sort of like distinction and like you know, individual self or personality or like separation and just kind of getting into, you know, some kind of like, you know, whatever universe or universes there are, perhaps that is what is God, you know. And then it's like, well, that doesn't really have any explanatory value. It's just like it doesn't add anything like to my understanding of the world, but it's kind of like a artistic feeling in a sense of like a way to look at the world where it's like, you know, this entire thing is just like mind-blowing and magical and it's beautiful
true. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. I can't really wrap my head around any of it, and I'm, you know, just like a blip of, you know, electrons or you know, spirit or who knows what. And like what is the difference between like me and my, you know, personality, which I may have been born with, and you know, what is the relation between free will and determinism, and yada yada yada, all that stuff. merging everything together and then, you know, breaking it back apart again, and then seeing the distinctions again, and kind of like seeing the beauty in like a bird or any person or a, you know, whatever, right? Like a piece of lint, like whatever. It's all the same. It's all magical. It's all beautiful. It's all whatever. So yeah, kind of flirting into the like all is one kind of vibe.
Okay.
But then also like re-entering the world of, you know, the senses and all of that.
Yeah.
And then trying to like, you know, bring kindness to people. Like maybe that's the best you can do is.
Yeah. I can get down with some kindness, man. That's good. That's good stuff. Yeah. And we could have a whole podcast just on that stuff, but man, I'm grateful for what you do. I'm grateful that you are including me in it, man. It's really, really fun and really cool. So after you said all this beautiful stuff, let's get back to commodifying.
Right? Yeah. So that we can get that private jet. That's
right, dude. And we can, we can look out the window and then we can contemplate from our own, you know,
it's a lot nicer private island. Like a 5-star hotel. Yeah.
Right, right. Or you build that desert sauna house out there and we can contemplate life. So I just wanted to finish, like, I'm not sure how it looks right now, but by the time this episode comes out, we're going to have a link in the description. So they can have like a 30-day trial of Parker's Pensies playlist or Parker's Proverbs.
So you sign up, enter your phone number, and then you have to like enter your card info, but you won't be charged. It's a free trial. And then it's easy to unsubscribe. You just reply back, unsubscribe to the text message.
Oh man, you made it so easy. You usually supposed to trick them into getting that for first month or whatever afterwards.
Trying to avoid the, you know.
That's good.
We could
pitch it as a wisdom lesson. You guys should have been more wise about this, but surprise, you got your card.
Like the movie Cocktail with Brad Pitt or with Tom Cruise, where it's fun. Oh, yeah. It teaches him the hard lessons.
So
you sign up, you'll get your first text message right after signing up, and then every day you get one. You can change the time of day, and easy to unsubscribe or to keep going. And
that's awesome. So, I don't remember if we talked about this or not, but, if they do Parker's Pensies, like a playlist, whatever, and they want to switch over, are they able to do that, or do they need to buy another?
You could do that. So, like all you would have to do is reply back, like add Epicurus, and then be getting Parker and Epicurus.
That's awesome, man. That's a value. That's huge. That's so cool. I have it pulled up right now, and I just saved the Daily Wisdom text number to Daily Wisdom. So now it's not just a random number, because that's really frustrating when you get random numbers. So now it just says Daily Wisdom, and I'll get these messages. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to share one from Dune that I really, really love. And they've snuck it into a lot of different sci-fi shows and stuff. And it's, I don't know if it's an illusion or if they just totally ripped off Frank Herbert. Like sometimes they say it's an allusion to him, but it's like, no, you didn't cite him at all. You just ripped off his
stuff. Yeah, but everyone's just ripping everyone off.
That's true. So in Dune, in the book, it says there's this Reverend Mother, and she's like a witch. So sorry, Christian listeners, but the witches are like really like wise women, and they're not using spells and stuff like that, but that's what they are in the book. So Frank Herbert, in order to make them seem really wise and stuff, actually makes all these like gnomic statements and wisdom, kind of like Tolkien does with Gandalf, and in Gandalf's mouth are all these like maybe not original, but really profound, amazing proverbs. So I grabbed one and I got the Daily Wisdom text of it. And I wanted to share it as we close here. So the Reverend Mother is talking to Paul Atreides right after he puts his hand in the box of pain. And she's got the gom jabber up to his neck. And she says, "You've heard of animals chewing off a leg to escape a trap? There's an animal kind of trick. A human would remain in the trap, endure the pain, feigning death that he might kill the trapper and remove a threat to his kind." And I thought, man, like it's not like a proverb in the sense of like proverbs, but it's something to chew on and think about. Like it's just from a book, but it actually makes sense. Like I don't want to chew off my hand. whoever is trapping humans, I'm waiting for him and I'm going to take him away. I'm going to remove this threat from my species. And it's just like this really cool, epic thing to be pondering on. Like, what situation would I be in where I would, instead of looking out for number one, saying, no, I'm going to overcome this whole threat and no one else is going to have to deal with this because I'm
She says, like, this is a human thing, but then you have to think, like, there are animals and insects and whatnot that are also willing to make those sacrifices.
Yeah.
And, just to ramble one more on, just I love that the there's the what are the, sorry, I was actually just confusing it with Hellraiser, where they're the Cenobites and just getting into the desert father thing.
Yeah,
wrong reference.
No worries.
What do they call the witches?
Oh, she's a Reverend Mother, but I forgot the name kind of they are.
True.
Yeah, I can't think of it right now. Yeah, is that important? Do you need that for the?
No, not important. Okay. Just yeah. Yeah.
Did you have another reference for us? Do you have another quote?
Oh. No, I
I thought you were about to drop one on us.
No, I was confused and was thinking that that group was called the Cenobites, but then I realized that's Hellraiser, because would refer back to the Desert Fathers thing. So
gotcha. Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Coherent way to end the episode.
No, I'll cut that out. That's good, man. Well, thanks again for coming on the podcast, for sharing your story, man, and getting kind of vulnerable with this. That was really cool, and it was just so cool to see that philosophy does matter, and it is helpful for living the good life, or a good life, and being a part of this is really cool. So I'm excited for more people to jump in. I hope that, like, the rising tide lifts all ship, man. I hope that you and I both are talking next time on our own private jets, because this has done so well. No, but I hope this will, I know this will serve people well, even if it's just for that 30-day free trial. You get to get a bunch of my favorite quotes deep in your head and your heart. Yeah. Samuel, anything to end us on?
No, this is awesome. Love your podcast. I love getting into, like, the you know, hardcore analytic philosophy stuff, but then you also have guests on that are scratching other itches. And so, it's amazing what you're doing, bringing wisdom to the world as well.
Thanks, man. I wasn't trying to, like, search for that, but I appreciate it. Thanks, dude. I hope that people don't think I was like, give me some more praise. That's awesome. I really appreciate it. All right. So, folks, you can find the link in the description to Daily Wisdom Text. Please sign up and check that out. You got a 30-day free trial. Go find that. And check out the other ones, too, because there's going to be hopefully more. There's going to be even more and more and more playlists as time goes on. Maybe we won't call them playlists, but that's up to Samuel to decide. All right. That's going to have to do it for us, folks. This has been Parker's Pensies. And as always, all glory to God.